Hey, Pants people, thank you for tuning into another episode. We would really appreciate it if you took a little time to leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps a bunch. Enjoy.
Situation in Zinda. It's been confirmed that Sturge Man is on the way. How and why he was contacted, we still do not know. We do know that his travel between worlds has been delayed, though, as he is currently working to foil his arch enemy, the Roper, in the cities of Rotham. Hopefully, he can resolve matters quickly and safely and find his way to Nuwari by morning. The Silent Burst remain tight-lipped about the situation, but rumors abound that the tragedy of Mixmas Wayne's family was not the only tragedy to strike on this day. The air of celebration here has been muted by a sense of despair and a single burning question. Who else has been killed?
Sturgeon battling the Roper and Rotham is a good joke, and I don't even care. I don't even care. One could say is the culmination of everything I have done in this show. One could say. There are layers. Ropers are a subterranean monster type. So Rotham is a subterranean world. Sturgeon's a bat mosquito. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's too highbrow for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's too highbrow. I could see.
Rumors abound.
See your confused, drooling face trying to comprehend this.
Drooling over
mind.
Drooling over this silver bullet. That's what I'm drooling over.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Steven,
shit. What
are you drinking?
This is a silver bullet from Reckless Brewing Company.
Reckless Brewing Company?
What did you say? Silver bullet?
Silver bullet.
But what could possibly be in the silver bullet?
Well, we don't know.
I was hoping that you'd say Fiona, our dry hopped red ale. You can find it at Reckless Brewing Company.
Oh, yes, you can.
No, the moment's passed now.
Wow.
Come on down.
Immaculate. Incredible.
Go check out our sponsor, Reckless Brewing Company, Bethlehem, New Hampshire. Thank you.
One would think we haven't been doing this for 2 years now, almost.
Yeah, 2 years in September.
That's coming right up. Isn't that
right,
crazy?
Right before episode 100.
Seriously, right before 100. We're on the march to 100. We're so close. Like, we're right there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's going to be special. Don't get excited, because I don't know what's going to happen. There's so much stuff in flux in the universe, especially tonight in this episode.
In the pantsverse.
The pantsverse.
Would it be the pantsverse?
The seams are about to split, gentlemen. That crotch ripped open. 2 timelines, 4 timelines. Timelines abound because the decisions you make tonight, the ramifications of them are actually kind of crazy.
Ramifications abound.
Abound. So, gentlemen, let's get down to business. Because there were some reservations about the way I handled that last combat. Or to be more precise, the fallout of that combat. 2 set deaths rolled randomly on a D20 table. And I'll tell you right now what that table consisted of. 1, DePiero. 2, Ledoux. 3, Xenia. 4, Margus. 5, Fyodor. 6, Samira. 7, Larissa. 8, Amos. 9 through 10, nameless Dwargar officers.
So, 9 through 10?
Yeah, so most likely 20. Damn it. Hey, don't correct me. I'll kill all the characters. most likely, look at that. 9 through 10, nameless Dwargar, no name characters are going to die, right? I mean, what are the chances that I would roll beneath 9 twice?
I don't know. Tell me the chances, Steven.
What are the chances?
I mean, a little worse than 50-50.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
Well, no. A little worse than 1 in 4.
You don't know anything.
I'm just saying it's not insane odds.
Look, all right. So let's pull all the cards on the table for the pants people. I've been talking to you guys, and I had planned on opening this episode with a courtroom drama bit. I was going to call in my wife, have her play judge, while I stood as defendant to your combined prosecution.
But then she didn't show up.
What's up with that? I'll tell you what's up. I called the judge off. I called the bit off. No more bits. We canceled the bit. We couldn't get the slot.
Bits are kind of our bit.
Yeah, well, look, I got a lot to say in this coming episode. There's a lot to do. In that bit, sounds like it would take a lot of time. So here's what we're going to do. I'd like to hear your thoughts on my mechanics, talk my own thoughts on them, and then get to the brass tacks, because as one might generally expect of our beleaguered and corrupt criminal justice system, I'm willing to offer you both a plea deal. Yeah.
My criminal justice major at it again.
My people have put some stuff together. So where are you guys at? You didn't like what I did. Why didn't you like?
So hold on, Steven, you can articulate this a lot better than I can.
Can you summarize the whole, like, from the start of the fight to the end of the fight?
No. I'll summarize this.
Summarize this.
I'll tell you my side of things. All right. My mechanic was simple. Complicated, but simple.
Here we go.
In this combat, round, basically, the chances that people were going to die as you fought went up. In the end of the combat, we did a 1d6 minus 6 plus X, X being the amount of rounds the specters got to go after the first round. Three rounds had passed, which means two rounds of active specters attacking people. You stop this, you know, from going or even further before they attacked in the third round. You got in right before, that would have been another death. 1d6 minus 3 would have been the case there. Danny rolled a 6. Danny's fault, not mine. That means two people, 1d6 minus 4, 6 minus 4, 2, died. Now, I know what you're thinking. Death saves, right? Come on, you got to give them death saves. And there are arguments to be made either way, because the stat blocks I was using, everyone listening, even though they didn't actually get involved in the combat, I did have the stat blocks for these beings up. And they were specters. Specters having a special ability that when they attack somebody, they drain life force. And if the person attacked fails a constitution saving throw, they don't just lose their HP, they lose their max HP, which means instant death. They would likely one-shot most characters involved in the sidelines here. And so there is a reasonable world, right? Something along the lines of 50% where I straight up kill these two characters that I attacked.
But did they get attack rolls to hit?
No.
Exactly.
That was your job.
Exactly.
You had to hit the thing, and you hit the thing. You did good. But you rolled bad at the end. Again, Danny's fault, not mine.
You badmouth Danny one more time, this show's over.
So that's the situation. I rolled 2d20s. Two characters. Probably just Duergar, right? Probably.
Yeah, but there's a really great chance that not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the odds mean probably means probably any single one of them. Mm. Probably this guy, probably that guy. Mm.
So we're talking about some really cool and interesting, fun homebrew mechanics to a fun, like, homebrew mix of this monster, right? Like, whatever this, you said it was a wraith.
It was actually, I teased them. I took out the balls. We gotta wait till they unzipped for that.
Okay, you can bleep that.
You can bleep it. Fine. Do we go back?
But like whatever this stat block is based off of, like the ability to summon a bunch of ghosties all throughout this whole map thing, and we also have the fun, amazing homebrew potion spell thing from Hooly Forge that arguably could have extended the fight an extra round, which then increased the chances of somebody else dying in the end. Talking about like homebrew stuff on top of homebrew stuff on top of homebrew stuff. So like where there is really, it is very difficult to balance. And there is such a high probability of somebody who is like really important to the story, and for reasons that I can't tell the pants people why yet, that somebody could die to like, I just want a chance to save my people.
I understand. And hey, man, I'm not your enemy. I'd love for you to save things. Like I said, I have taken notes and plans I had and burned them after last week. I can bring them right back because here's my plea deal. You ready to hear it? Ready to hear it?
I feel like that was a threat.
Uh-huh.
I think this is a fair way to handle this. I am going to allow death saves, but I'm going to make my first round of saves immediately. On top of that, I'm going to make those saves until these characters are healed by you or dead no stabilizing. That is the we'll say that's the con sort of for this con draining effect the wraiths have. There's more. We're going to return to our initiative block, the one we left before. We're going to continue right from that Spectre's turn, which is where I'm going to make the save. On the Spectre's turn each round, I'm going to keep making those saves. And one more complication. Death was fated for these two. We cliffhangered it. We're doing another fate cliffy? Come on. No one's going to take us seriously anymore in Hollywood. Death was fated for these two, and no action of mine is going to undo it. I have crafted scenarios in which no NPC help will come for these two before death. Only you, our heroes, ooh, our players, will be able to influence this moment. The future is on a pivot, gentlemen. We may be looking at very different outcomes, different stories, depending on how you play out these next few rounds. No pressure, though, huh?
You don't have any spell slots left, do you?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I do.
So will that be...
I do, I can heal.
Sufficient? Does a court accept my deal?
I have one slot left. One.
Wait, so hold on. What was the deal? The deal was, yeah, I'm going to kill them very, very fast?
The deal slowly is, I'll slower give you a chance to stop it.
Slower.
Hey, you went from...
He's giving us a chance, but we can't stabilize. We have to be able to heal.
You went from absolute death?
Remember what I said to you this morning, Jeremy?
Yes. That, it's I not far
fucking
off.
Called it.
It's not far off, yeah.
What? What?
Well, we don't have to.
Well, no, we don't have to. Blanche could sit there and watch them die.
That's
but
what I'm saying. It's not
the
far,
only well, way. The
oh, that's
only,
right. Because yeah, she's not gonna be able to take Jean that quickly.
The only way Blanche has, yeah, to heal,
fuck,
is with, yep, that potion that we got from the spider cave.
Yeah,
I said that to Jeremy this morning. Yep. I was like, oh, Dave is gonna make us a deal
of superior healing.
Yeah,
wait,
dude,
that's beautiful.
Hold on, hold on. Wait, hold on. No, never mind. I do not have a healing potion.
I mean, I'll let you make medicine checks if you get in the situation, but they're not set things. I want a DC 15.
Oh, actually.
To see stabilization.
I have two potions of greater healing.
What?
Ha. Huh.
Solid.
Damn.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
Suck on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Suck on that, kitchen boy.
So you accept my deal then?
I don't see what... I mean, we get a chance, right? Yeah. We just have to get there and use a potion.
He's giving us time to get there. Maybe.
Cool. Then let's go. I am making two rolls.
Blanche is hopping on her broom of flying and splitting.
Shame they're not allowing stabilization. Anyway, we're staying initiative order, and actually the first one to move is going to be Jean Franklin. Does he want to do anything? Is he able to move at all?
Yeah, I mean, he can move. Maybe free action, he'll ask Harlan where his father went.
Harlan! My father, Leduc, the damnable Leduc, where are they? Where?
I'll free action to say,
I'll send them all out. The Tortoise were going out the back way, down the stairs, through the hallway, back towards the kitchen. The rest, Xenia, Margus, Samira, were heading out the front gate. I couldn't get to the Grand Messer and Larissa. They were still locked up and Fiona wouldn't leave.
You hear sounds of the combat has just ended in the room beside yours. In fact, I will reveal the fog of war as you should be able to see in there. And I'll tell you this, two Dwergar and Fyodor stand alive. They immediately begin to move in and start trying to try the door to open up the closet where Larissa and Amos were last seen.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, can you say one more time where DePiero went?
DePiero, going down the stairs, moved north through the hallway towards the back exit, basically. Xenia, Margus, and Samira went towards the, like, basically went east. Yes, that's the one. East, towards the main entrance hall to go out the front. They split them up to get them all out in different ways in order to, like, split any enemy attention.
Okay. What would happen? Can we see the whole map?
Yeah. This is your second floor.
So we are here?
No.
Oh, no, we're here. We're here. And they went out this door to go out the exit that's located. Shmeow?
This is the second floor. They all went down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there would have gone. So one group would have gone down the stairs just north of here. And they would have pushed northwards towards the back exit on the first floor. The second group would have gone down the hallway, down the main stairs that lead into the main entrance room. and that's where they would be. I'll show you the first floor now. So one group would likely be, I can't ping for some reason. I'm trying. It's not working.
David, can you ping it?
Why wouldn't it ping?
I have no idea what you just did there, but there are like four maps on the map now.
Why did that happen? Okay, hang on. No, wait. This isn't what I wanted.
What are you doing?
Ignore those other maps.
What is happening?
I'm trying to ping. I can't.
So,
oh, wait.
Is this ping. The...
There. You see that ping?
That's, I saw the that's ping. The entrance they're going
that
for?
That is the one that DePiero and Ledoux should be heading for. Going down the stairs, then northwards up the hallway past the kitchen and the salon doors and towards this back door that leads into like that back patio you'd considered bringing everyone out to before. Everybody else would have been going out the great hall down that grand staircase leading to the second floor. There's one more thing to consider. You can move down those stairs. You could also... You also now know there's a roughly Divaluma-sized and shaped hole in the interrogation room you had made where the moss had ripped to the floor. It's actually more like maybe a 10-foot-wide like circle, sort of. The moss kind of spread out in that much and sort of burned to the floor at this point. It's sort of benign now, but that would drop you down into the morning room right there.
Okay.
A quicker way to get down the stairs, but you'd have to like maneuver around the wall. I don't know which way is faster. I don't know what your plan is, Blanche.
Yeah, I don't think Jean's going to be the one to save the day here. He's just not fast enough. So I'll send Jean running the regular way down the stairs.
Okay. Double move?
Double move.
All right, that's going to be... Double move and we'll get him right to the bottom of the stairs, basically. Yeah, okay. So Jean reaches the bottom of the stairs and is pushing out into the hallway. Just, Father, Ledoux, anyone! Just screaming out as he's running. As this is happening, we're going to cut to Chester, actually. Sidekick's going first.
A question.
Yeah.
That sunroom, how high is it above the ground?
Probably about 20 feet drop.
Oh, fuck. Never mind.
Pretty high ceilings and walls here.
So there's no easy way for him to get down that way? Is there like a trellis? Is that the term?
What?
Yes, I had my interior decorator put a trellis under here.
Divaluma landed on a coffee table, which we talked about her. She wants her eating through.
Sure.
This would mean that there's probably a couch right beside it.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the sunroom in front. I'm talking about going outside to meet them at the front door outside.
Oh, going out the front door that way. No, I don't. Actually, I think there is a, let me go back to that.
Well, what would happen if Chester decided to jump from the second story?
Yeah.
No, there actually is. You see, so you're jumping out of the morning room going out the sunroom. You can jump over that. I didn't realize what you're talking about. Yes.
Hold on.
I'm
looking. I'm looking at the full map on the actual second floor.
This guy's got a morning room and a sunroom. Come on, that is clearly confusing.
So we are on the first floor currently.
You are on the second floor currently. I'm just showing you the first floor because that's where everyone else is.
Okay, so yeah, what's above the sunroom in Amos's new suite? Can he get down that way outside? Is he able to go out like onto the balcony and
some gutters?
Down? Yeah,
there's a balcony. I'll allow a climb. It's me athletics to just move around and start climbing down.
Okay.
So he just pushes down. I don't know what Chester's pushes through the door onto the balcony. Jules, but... Looks outside. He's trying to go down.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Okay. Okay.
Go scout the situation.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know what he's gonna do, but
maybe there'll be sticks in the path.
Chester's not gonna just stand there in the room and like, okay, you guys go handle it.
No, it's a good move. It's a good move.
All right, you said athletics?
Yes.
That's an 11.
Okay. Jules, I'm checking things out. He just runs over, leaps over the side, kind of like slowly getting down. I think with an 11, he's sort of struggling a little bit on the way down. He doesn't fall or anything like that, but he's not making a lot of gains. He's about halfway climbing down, just like, I'll let you know. I'll yell up. There's this feeling of dread that pervades like everyone here, like that feeling of something has happened. There's still silence following the fight, but you know something bad is happening right now. You all feel it. That'll be Blanche.
Blanche sprints for the hole in the floor. She doesn't say anything. You can see in her eyes there's something different now. She leaps for the hole, and as she's like midair, she grabs the broom. And she like starts to mount the broom as she's falling out of sight.
That's so awesome. Cool. Okay. Okay. If you're double moving with this thing, I'm assuming you are, that gives you 100 feet of speed.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do a quick calculation then. 20 feet to the hole. I won't count the distance down, as you're basically just using that to sort of move diagonally downwards. So let's... Do you intend to move through the reception room or northwards around the stairs? Both look like they're around equally complicated.
Well, the stairs is the direction they're going, so...
At this point, they're likely already downstairs. They would have been downstairs when things went down.
Sure. Okay. Hold on. Let me decide. Can you ping where the hole is?
Maybe. It's not there.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, I think the quickest way is to go... If the hole is here, I guess out to the left this way, and then down. I think that's...
That'll put you just beyond the kitchen. You weave around. You pull through. Jean's just pulling out the stairs, just thundering down. You can hear him moving. Wait. Before any of this, you're double moving on the broom. I need an acrobatics check to see how you handle this thing. You are going full throttle. You're literally pulling this thing out mid-flight, pulling out, getting onto it, and just taking off. This is definitely an acrobatics maneuver.
Okay, one sec. I have advantage on acrobatics check while in Blade Song.
That you do.
And it's a +4. I think I'm not going to keep my button. I'm going to use the button. No, that's too much. Because then it's just a +2, right? On advantage. I think the button's worth more than a +2 in this situation. Fuck. Okay, here we go. No button. Advantage anyways.
Okay.
Okay, first roll's a 17. I feel like that's pretty good. All right, first roll is the 1.
17, you manage to do it. You slide down. You grab the broom, the rod of flying, the Marfil rod of flying. You tuck it in. You weave around the corner. Perfect sort of arc down the hallway, down sort of the narrow, like turn there. You hear Jean thundering down. Just as he pulls out, you're blasting past him. You slide around the corner of the hallway. You don't see anybody in that northern hallway. But you can move far enough to move like up past the kitchen door and the salon door, where you're pretty close to the exit outside, about 15 feet away. Do you want to go your full distance?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. You slide up, you pass two doors, both of which look mostly closed, and you move to this sort of open hall, a dining room. Table still set for a meal you never had. You can hear a commotion outside. But I'm going to need an action for a perception check if you want to get more, or you're going to need to get closer. And you have no actions left.
Wait, what? You need an action? I don't have it.
Yeah, no.
Are you saying this is the end of my turn?
I'm saying it's the end of your turn. Unless you have a bonus action.
Damn.
No. Nothing.
Let me look up a rule. Something I've actually wondered about for a long time and never fully thought about. Just the idea of what I'm looking into. I know there's one action you can take in combat. It's called the search action. This is typically, I kind of forgot about this, but typically when you use a perception check or investigation check during combat to look for somebody, that is a full action. I believe we've ruled it as such in the past as well, such as with Mesmerize during that first initial conflict. There was an action used to see the invisible Mesmerize while she was hiding in plain sight. That is why I think that in order to get more information, you would need to use an action right now. I can't give it to you for free or even for a bonus action. I was checking to see if there was like a reasonable in between on that, but I don't think that works.
Okay.
So you slide down the hallway, past the two closed doors, towards that last door ahead of you. You see the door leading outside is mostly open, which implies people have moved through and you could hear some commotion out there, but you can't quite catch it. The wind whistling past you as you sail across. And that is your turn. Jules, that's you. Chester's moving down. He doesn't have information for you yet.
Yep, Jules is going down the hole.
Going down the hole, okay.
Yeah.
You weave, dive down the hole. You land where Blanche has just landed. You see the moment Blanche jumps on the broom and zoops around the corner. You
and
see
Jules
this...
grabs onto the end of it.
I'm kidding. As you land, you see there's two ways out. It's one way to the north and one way to the east. The northern way will likely bring you closer to Dapiro Ladue. The eastern way will likely bring you closer to Xenia Margus.
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay. you push out that door into the reception room. And there is an open sort of pathway, like just a straight up opening, no door that leads into the Great Hall. You're running as you push through that door. No check necessary. Your passive would be enough.
Okay.
You see Samira, Margus, Xenia, and two Dwargar officers, and they are fine. They are rattled. They are breathing hard. They are scared, but they are fine.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. You hear a crashing sound upstairs. The Dwargar and Fyodor are trying to open that closet door, but something, you hear like a mark, fuck, I whoop. Something's going wrong. What has happened to Amos and Larissa? And with that, I'm rolling to die. That's Jean.
Can you ping where Jean is? Okay. So
with full movement, Jean would basically just reach where you're at.
Gets to the dining room. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I guess that's what he's going to do.
Okay. He's thundering up behind. He's like, yeah, using everything he can to catch up to you. You're already kind of blurring ahead at this point, but he's doing everything he can. Like, Father! Father! Let do! Damn it! Let do! Just screaming out. And there is no answer. That's going to be Chesta.
Okay, so can we... I don't know if this is crazy backtracking, but when Jules sees that they're fine, if he yells toward the front door to Chester, can Chester hear him?
You're standing in the reception room. There are open windows.
Oh, we're still in the reception. Okay.
In the reception room.
Okay.
Chester's hanging off the sunroom right beside of it. I like it. We're going to do a... Steven's holding up the D100, and I think that's a good idea. We're going to do a luck roll here. I think that's God the only damn. Way. I think there's a chance he can hear it. I'm going to say it's a 50-50. There's a lot of noise outside. Everyone's been watching this place.
I want to roll the D100 through the guns of heaven.
I'm almost positive it won't fit.
It looks like it'll fit. Let's try it.
All right.
What are the numbers?
If it gets stuck, Chester dies.
I'm taking that risk.
I want 1 through 50. He does not hear.
Okay.
51 through 100.
Okay.
He hears.
It got stuck. It didn't go through the first.
There's a tension breaker.
I'm like, I don't know how to break it to you, man. I don't think that's gonna fit.
God, okay. Oh, I'm positively shaking.
Fuck. 45.
So close.
45.
He hears your voice, and he kind of perks up. Tries to hone his ears towards it. But there's too much. As he would move around to the corner, people have been watching from outside, waiting for some activity, and suddenly someone appears in the second balcony and starts going down. You just hear, there's paparazzi, guild members, dude, flashes of light.
Fuck.
People are yelling, and he can't quite make you out. It's all the people are yelling from far off. It's all blending together. He can't hear you, Jules.
God, then he's going to still run towards the front door. Fuck.
Okay. Go ahead and make me an athletics check real quick. I mean, we'll just see if he... falls, takes. He's about 10 feet off the ground at this point.
Going, yeah.
But anything above a 10, we'll get him through now. He's found some good footing.
9.
He like slides a little bit. And he goes, oof, hits his butt. He doesn't really take damage, but he kind of slows him down a little bit. And he's kind of limping as he gets
Come
up
on.
Running. He makes it like almost towards the door, but he's not quite able to open the door yet.
Fuck.
Okay. That's Blanche.
Right,
you
Blanche
may use an action to use it to try to listen closer if you want to stop, or you can just keep blazing.
She needs her action for the potion.
Okay.
So she's going to grab the potion from her back or her belt or whatever as she blasts out the door.
You blast out the door onto the patio. You see at the fringes of this patio, DiPiero Montelio is being held back by two Dwargar officers and screaming out, "No! No! My financial advisor's in there! He's still in there! What are you doing?"
You're the higher priority target. We can't let you get back in.
No, no. He looks up. Blanche! Blanche!
Where is he?
I don't know. He ran. He... You remember that Ledoux is fearfully afraid of spirits. He's talked to you about the Biza. His greatest fear is this exact scenario. Where is he? Where did he go? Where did he run?
All right. So how much movement has already been used just getting there?
That would have been 20 feet to get outside and see. That leaves you with 8 feet of movement.
Okay. So the way I see it, there's really
two options, either the...
Or no, 80 if you double action.
Okay.
30 if you want your action.
All right. Well, let's... So 30 feet, I think, will get me into the dining room door. Because the way I see it, there's two places he could... Or, I'm sorry, not the dining room door, the kitchen door.
Yes.
So the way I see it, there's two places he could be, either the kitchen or the salon. I don't think I can get to the salon in 30 feet.
You're taking a risk.
Yeah, I guess so.
You can reach the kitchen in 20 feet. Is that what you want to do? Gives you 10 feet left.
Yeah, that's really all I got to do. That's really all I got.
You whirl around on a dime, blast back into the building, rushing over the dining room table, curving, pushing towards the door. Jean stops dead right behind you as he just catches up and looks for it. Sir, what's happening, sir? You, boom, push open the door to the kitchen. And immediately, 5 feet into the room at the intersection of these two doors, you see Ledoux Lemoine on the ground.
Oh, jeez.
Pale, but breathing very slowly. And you are close enough to take an action.
I'm gonna fucking give a potion of healing greater to an NPC. I know! It's the story. I need Ledoux.
Oh, okay. You rush into the room, slide down, pull him over, and just give him the potion.
Yep, down the gullet.
Hell yeah. Describe what this looks like. It's probably really cool. You're getting, like, how are you getting off your broom? How are you doing this?
She, Blanche, when the door opens and she sees Ledoux, she just jumps. She just, like, dismounts the broom, and the broom goes flying into the kitchen, and she just skids to a stop. She's already got the bottle in her hand, unstoppered. And
shit.
As soon as she stops moving, her hand is already under Ledoux's head, and she just, like, pinches his cheeks from the side and pours it right in.
Holy shit. You pour the potion in, and color begins to flood back into the turtle's cheeks and the turtle's body. His eyes slowly open on you. Jules.
You're gonna owe me like 100, 150 gold.
Okay, so when Jules is in the room,
you are in the reception room, so right beside the Great Hall. You're looking out. You actually are at a point where, like, you can look up and maybe, like, just out the door, you can hear the sound of Blanche and Jean's movements.
Right.
You know they're up to whatever they're up to.
So he hears this commotion from upstairs.
Yeah. You see everyone's
and
okay.
He turns back to the door that he just came through, looks to the north. Is that where the dining room is in the kitchen?
Yeah.
He looks in the direction of the north. Just a slight little pause, almost like a camera zoom on his face, where he pauses and thinks for a second. He knows Blanche has this. We got to try to save everybody. And he goes back to the room. And you said there's a couch under the hole?
There'll be one close to the hole, yes.
Okay, can Jules climb back up through the hole?
I think I said it's 20 feet high. It's going to be a challenge.
20 feet high. Fuck.
You'd need to find some way to gain leverage up
God
there.
God damn it, I already used Misty Step.
What about College of Creation?
Can we do that? Because it is.
You can make
it set
any
on the floor.
Item.
If it's set on the floor, holy
How
shit.
High can you make something?
We can actually use this.
Well, I mean, you could make like a grappling
hook. Dude, I forgot I had it because there's what fucking use is it going to be?
Holy shit, College of Creation.
On. Yeah, hold on. Stand by. Yeah, as an action, I can create one non-magical item that has a maximum value of 100 gold in an unoccupied space within 10 feet of me. The maximum size is medium.
5 to 7 feet, basically.
Cool. He's gonna create a 7-foot ladder.
It'd fall in. Yeah, it'll be a 10 feet to like hit large. So yeah,
well,
I think
hold
that's.
Hold on. Let me think about this for a second.
Why not just make like a rope with a grappling hook?
That'd be a check involved in that one, but it could be doable.
How come it would be a check?
To use it afterwards.
Oh,
let me see if I can get creative with this.
Okay.
Hold on.
I like creative.
Make a jetpack.
Okay. So after a little bit of discussion, Jules will create a grappling hook. David, do you want to explain to the pants people how this works?
First of all, we just see, like, what's it look like? So this is the second time you've used this. This golden light, is it? Mm-hmm. Like the motes you have when you essentially just kind of spawns this hook?
Yeah. I think he holds out both of his hands, and it just twinkles and appears.
Like, I love this too, because in both cases, like before, it's like, I need a lockpick, and then whew, it happened. Here you're having the same thing, like, I need to get back up. I need to get back up, and that overall pulls magic.
I like the idea that he's not thinking specifically of the actual object, but his emotions are projecting what it needs to be for him in that moment.
That is
and it
awesome.
Just happens.
Okay. You find this in your hand. You look down for a second. Jules, you were you caused some havoc back on Tytho. So I'm going to say you've probably used one of these at least sometimes before, right? Given your backstory, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make this a ranged attack roll. Proficiency plus dex.
Okay.
So you see a spot up ahead where like there's a good sort of piece of floor that's kind of hanging. You could latch around it and pull up. The moss didn't really create an even hole. There's this jagged edges kind of facing in.
Okay. Right on the chaise lounge.
You see the core of the chaise lounge. You can grab, yes.
Amos buys quality furniture. That thing is heavy. It will support you.
It's a beast.
All right. So my dex is a plus zero, but my proficiency is a plus three. So let's see what we get.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I don't know. 13. 10 on the die.
I was looking for a 10.
Oh. That was, yeah.
20 feet. You can see your target. It's not going to be too terribly hard.
Okay. Latch it.
You feel it fall into place. It will cost you the entire rest of your movement, though.
Do what I got to do.
Move it up. Yeah, so I'm going to say there's a creation. I'm calling the throw essentially a bonus action, and then you're just kind of using your movement. You can move up the rope. It doesn't take athletics check. You just kind of slow. So you reach the top. Your hands are kind of onto the floor. You're about to move back onto this floor. You can hear,
don't know what's going on. Why can't we get through it?
Fjord just,
he has looked it. I don't understand. He has put something in front of the door. It is not breaking.
Okay. You hear this. I was about to scream, bring him out. But
is it a pull or a push door?
Okay. And with that, I'm making a roll. Just one this time. Okay.
Wait, there's two of them in the room. Why are they?
Because.
Huh? Good question.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That's a fine question. Blanche, you have accomplished your objective. DePiero, or Ledoux begins to awaken beneath you. The door bursts open as Jean rushes in behind you. Just, sir! Ledoux, damn it! And comes sliding down beside you. I'm going to turn the camera off on you. I don't think you're going to make it in time to make a difference anyway.
Yeah, but it's really cool when you see, like, a shot of the outside of the building, and Blanche kicks open the front door, and she walks out carrying Ledoux in her arms.
DePiero, the Dragar, cheering, just like, Master Defense, you've done it again!
Hello, me, but he's alive.
We're gonna cut the camera on you then. We're gonna focus primarily and wholly on Jules. Chester moves into he finally opens a great hall door just as, like, he's just going to the door and the door opens up as Margus, Xenia, Samira, Tuduergar rush out. He's just, oh shit! Jules climbs into the interrogation room, the closet. Let's go back to our battle map. It's all up to you now. You can move around this room. You see, there's a door behind you that does lead to a second entrance towards that closet, you know.
Okay.
Connected by this bathroom that goes between the two closets. Or you can loop around and help them somehow break open the door they're trying to open.
He's going to go the back way. My thinking with that is that they've already tried to freaking bust on the door. Having a scrawny-ass guy like Jules is not going to really do much.
Here, let me help. With your movement, you're able to reach that door. You move into the bathroom. You see this, like, fancy, ornate bathroom. You know, just gold and white porcelain everywhere all around you. Marble, it's beautiful. You don't care. You're thundering across, running towards that door on the end. You go to open it?
Yeah.
I need a strength check and action. As you go to open it, you see this too is also something's in front of it. Something is stopping you from getting into that room.
So weird.
Yeah. Is that strength?
Yes.
Shit.
You know, Amos was pissed and he's kind of crazy. He just walled off the doors. Wouldn't let anyone come in, and then things went south in there.
If there is ever a time I really need a crit.
Yeah, Jules, notorious strongman. What's your strength there, buddy?
Uh-huh. Plus zero.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is not the worst. It's not a negative.
I will tell you, as you go to open it, like you push it, there is some give here. You get the impression this is not as reinforced. The one, like the hammering you're hearing over there.
So I don't necessarily need to entirely bust it open. I could just get it a little bit to where I could.
You just need to push it a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
It's DC 10 again.
Oh, okay. So 50-50.
Not with a two.
Oh my god.
It slides. You're trying to go. You bounce it off. But something is holding this door closed.
Does it have enough give to reach my hand through?
Not with a two.
Not with
Fuck.
A two.
With a five?
God.
I would have given you that.
I have no buts.
Holy shit. Holy shit. That was your action?
Yeah.
And that was your movement. Do you have anything else you can do?
No.
Can I see your spell list?
No, I'm not using this. I have one slot left and it's Cure Wounds.
Honestly, I'll call the strike to a bonus action.
Every single slot is
what level?
Gone. Level one. Everything is gone. Oh. Yeah, there's nothing that would help. There's nothing that would help. Yeah.
Okay.
And Blanche can't get there in time anyway.
Oh no.
Nobody else has a potion that we know of.
Call the strength to a bonus action. You could reach through potentially if you get a five.
Okay.
But you did not get through on that.
Nope.
Okay.
Apparently not.
We're going to loop around to your turn again, but first I'm making a roll. Okay. That's four.
That was...
I need three fails, and someone is dead.
That was... I don't like the fact that that was a non-reaction from him.
I know. Well, I've been watching him the whole time. He's been trying to be pretty stone-faced with
him. Yeah.
I'll give you this. When you hit the door, even with a two, it opened enough just to, like, you can't reach a crack through, but it's like as you shoved it a little bit.
Okay.
And you can hear... Larissa, what? There's something wrong with Amos's voice. He sounds vague and far off.
Okay.
Larissa, stand. What are you doing lying there? Stand. Stand. Stand, girl!
Okay. Okay.
You're up again.
It's an eight.
You slam against again and it's open just a little bit.
Can I reach my hand in and feel what's behind the door?
You reach your hand in.
Feels like luck again.
Try to have his luck again because given where the token is in the map, tell you what, it's a luck check.
And as I reach through.
Yeah.
Is it Larissa? Give her to me.
Oh, there you go. I like that better.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Because if he already has got a place on the map, then
I need to touch her. Let me rephrase that.
There's post credits.
Okay. You say that. I feel like I want something. And here's what's going to be. Up until this point, you've made enemies with Amos near. I need one last persuasion check from Jewel. It's your forte. It doesn't need to be a high one, but just enough to convince this man in shock that you are here to help.
You can hate me all you want. I don't care, but nobody's dying on my watch. Dirty 20.
Oh!
Your hand is outstretched, reaching around the corner. You feel something soft slide into your hand. You feel like a wrist, the bones of a wrist. Your hand clamps down around them. What do?
I cast Cure Wounds.
It's a bonus action to open that door. Cure Wounds you can do on this turn as your action. I'm not going to make another check. Magic funnels out of you, but are you too late? Magic. This healing magic rushes from you. And it is received.
That was loud.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I rolled two fails the first two rounds.
Holy shit.
And two saves the next two rounds. That energy, your last spell slot funnels into.
That's
only
it.
You couldn't
Jules
even, a potion couldn't even
entirely.
Done that. A potion couldn't even have done that. It had to have been a touch spell because of what the situation you were in, reaching around.
Dude, all bardic inspiration, all my spell slots, performance, literally Jules is spent. All he has left is melee. That is it.
Your magic floods in. And Larissa gasps awake. Amos sort of collapses back into a corner. You could hear almost some soft weeping as the door smashes again a few more times in this sort of frozen moment. Then You hear Dwergar pouring in. Fyodor, what is happening? Is everyone okay? Harlan barking orders.
Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine.
And everybody is fine. So let's cut ahead in time. Let's cut to a scene of everyone beginning to gather. Perhaps on that back patio, we see Margus, Xenia, Samira, Jules, Chester, Blanche, Jean, DePiero, Ledoux, no Larissa, no Amos. Harlan comes out a moment later, kind of informing you that the two are in a state of shock after being attacked by Azra's spirit. But they will be okay because of you. I think you see Ledoux's been like, he's still barely kind of, he's coming into consciousness. He's not used to this. Perhaps the fright itself is what kind of has him out of, sort of out of his wits. And he starts finally kind of coming to, his eyes sort of blurring and hazing over a Jean who's just distraught, kneeling over him like, Ledoux, shaking. I sort of focus in.
Some night you are, Jean Franklin. Callously leaving me to die while you played around upstairs. No, Ledoux, it wasn't like that, I swear. I just...
And he cuts off as he catches the weak smile creeping over Ledoux's face.
I just underestimated how pathetic you are. You can't even run away properly, it seems. Meat-headed brute. Pompous ass.
They just share a smile in this moment. Any awkwardness melted away. As they're speaking, I think Margus approaches the two of you.
I'm waiting for a fucking kiss, man.
Keep
Come
waiting.
On.
You don't
Keep
get waiting. It that easy. You don't get it that easy.
I'm a tease. I tease people. Margus approaches you. They just like hands out wide like,
oh, you really? You did it? Everyone alive? Well... Everyone left, and the killer caught. This calls a celebration. Obviously, events here are not going to continue as they were, but please, Blanche, Jules, your retinue, please accept my invitation to the Thorn Apple. I have the best sweets. Remember, I am the king of tavern keeping. I can hook you up. We have a 10-day of celebration ahead of us, and now we have something to celebrate. Please. Be my guests.
Margus, I couldn't possibly refuse.
Just like big, burly, like real muscles rising, fists in the air, very excited. Xenia kind of hiding behind them, like, huh? Just sort of, you know, nervous, but happy, so happy. Obviously, just like the somber energy of what's happened today, but this, surviving this, and maybe something happened there in that moment when they faced Meloara. You see, as she stands behind Margus, a hand sort of slides onto her shoulder. Samira's hand, and the two also share a somber but joyful look. At some point, Harlan comes around.
Well, we'll be investigating here for some time, of course. But matters seem settled. If you have any evidence to support, you know, what happened, I'd happily take it. I'm assuming, perhaps,
he pulls out his own recording diamond, you know, he's used before. Gives you a shrewd eyebrow. Shrewd eyebrow.
Yes, we recovered it earlier. I'm sure we can copy that for you.
Oh, lovely. That's lovely. It's going to help things along. Great. Whew. Top of that, I think maybe I wouldn't need everything I collected at the scene then to persecute.
He pulls out a bottle, a very similar looking bottle. Another bottle of Hungry Moss.
Now this is a dangerous weapon. Might be you should find itself in the right hands. Hands that can do some good.
I'm gonna give you guys a bottle of Hungry Moss. Hooly Forge's Hungry Moss.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like an even trade, Harlan.
I don't know about that, but something. It's at least something.
Alright, give me that jar, David.
Oh, yeah,
give me that jar.
Take the jar.
Where's the jar?
Is the jar.
There's the jar.
All nice.
Yours. Right you guys get a us. New jar. Ooh, like, as Jean kind of finally stands and recovers, casts an awkward eye towards his father. These two haven't actually talked yet, not since this all started, not since Jean realized that DePiero was investigating as well. Not since he realized that DePiero had done everything he'd done. to protect his son. So Jean shuffles awkwardly over.
Listen, father, I was wrong. I have dishonored us all with my foolishness. I thought you were some common murdering thug when all along you've been protecting me from the witch. You weren't even trying to expose the matter yourself. Please accept my...
Enough, Jean. Do not shame our house with another word.
Sora turns towards you, towards everyone. You should know that my intention was not some foolhardy pursuit of justice for justice's sake. I knew of the murder all along, didn't I? Despite the matter of Proud Edun's cost, I still profited from it. We all, those Sither Kings, profited from it. But now, for our people, I saw it was best to bring down the flourishing market of the Jelly Flower, as the Grand Messer was the most outspoken about our continued advance into world politics. Sort of sighs, and you see like a strange look entering the old turtle's eyes, something wholly weary. Master Defense, son, we will speak of this, of everything, after you've made your way to the Golden Bay. I will depart immediately with some silent verses, my retinue. For now, though, you should stay here in Zinda and enjoy the hospitality of Mix Margus Ruba. It is important for you to build bridges both as a Prince of Coin and a luminary in this directed right towards Jean. And they kind of turn to his side. Financial advisor Ladula Meow.
Ladula Meow.
Sorry, the cat. I got bit by a cat earlier. I think I'm changing.
Oh, God, the ears. It's starting with the ears.
Financial advisor Ladula Meow will join you here, as he needs experience with the people of Zinda.
The two turtles share a quick, awkward look at each other.
What? Stay with him? I'm also mad. Furious.
And so, I think we can start to close the screen here, fade to black on this scene, as we can push forward with what's going to be 10 days of celebration and fun. 10 days. During which, I'll tell you now, you're going to level up.
Nice.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and baby.
I'll let you mark that at this episode's end.
Hell yeah.
At the episode's end, but not... We're not done yet.
We level up so infrequently, I forget that that's a thing.
It's a thing, damn.
By
it.
Episode 100, we're going to be level 6.
Okay. Let's cut ahead in time again. DePiero has left, and our four adventurers with Ladula Meow in tow all go to the Thorn Apple, this raucous, wonderful establishment. It's probably the biggest inn, you know, if Zinda has like a full-on, super like modern-day suite hotel, it's that, you know, this is the Hilton.
Like the casino hotel?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Margus Ruba knows how to party. They are great at that. And they've hooked you up with the best suites they have. Top floor, huge, sprawling. As many as you want. Who wants to... How many suites are you guys getting? They're large enough you could... Everyone would be, but you could also split up and be, like, more comfortable.
I mean, I don't think it matters. Roll a die about it. I don't give a shit.
You tell me. Roll a die or tell me.
Let the dice decide, Steven.
All right, I'm gonna roll a d6.
What does that mean?
Well, there's Jules, Blanche, Chester, Jean, Ledoux.
Okay.
So I'll re-roll.
Jules and Chester are all in the same.
Okay.
And Jean
so
wants
to roll a d4.
Jean wants his own room.
Okay, then we're getting 3 suites. Why did this have to be so hard?
Ledoux wants his own room too. Okay, so it was one for Ledoux, one for Blanche, one for Jean, one for Jules and Chester. We got it.
Okay.
Settled. Great. You all, I imagine, enjoy a wonderful dinner. Maybe finally, Fjodor comes to the Thorn Apple and makes you some omelets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is seconds for me.
It really is.
The sommelier, I can imagine, comes to the table with a bottle of jelly wine, and Blanche is like, oh, no, I can't. Not anything but that.
We'll just do a quick montage, just like, yeah, you just you can't with the wine. But just see Blanche hand up refusing the wine, maybe Jules like stringing out in his loot at all. You got some celebration in you?
Yeah, one. Yeah, why not?
Zania why just not? Hands and together.
Chester
marveling.
Grabs the bottle of jelly wine and starts chugging it.
Oh hell yeah, just to take Chester under a table. Jean and Ledoux kind of giving each other the cross stares. Yeah. You know, Margus just raising a glass up, just like,
to new friends and heroes.
The whole establishment,
new friends and heroes.
As night fades to morning, Jules, your eyes open and your opulent suite kind of rise. These suites, of course, have blackout curtains because, you know, you gotta have the best. It's the best part of staying in a fancy hotel. Chesta kind of, oh, what happened? I don't remember. What did I drink? Am I old enough to drink? As he asks himself these important questions, perhaps you sort of rise and start to move towards the... Or maybe Chester actually rises out of bed and he's kind of like slowly, awkwardly moving over to the curtains. You're kind of getting up, you know, kind of feeling your way into this morning as light floods the room. Chester turns around and freezes. I imagine you freeze too, Jules, as sitting in a waiting chair, two glowing eyes of this proboscis mask.
Yep.
Sturgeman.
Yep.
Waiting for you. Sturgeman does not move his position, just sitting calmly, but a voice rings out, harsh and strong.
Calm down. If I was here to kill you, you would never have seen me. No. I'm not here to kill you, Jules LaRoche.
Hand reaches up. You begin to watch as this proboscis mask is being pulled up.
I'm here to thank you and to call you friend.
And we'll call it there.